Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Chers auditeurs,
dear listeners,
bonjour.
Welcome in Comme d'Archi Podcast Season 4.
Saison 4, dans le monde fascinant des architectes.
And in the architectural projects.
Je suis Anne-Charlotte Deponte, passionnée d'architecture et docteur des universités en histoire de l'archi.
I am one of the spokespersons of Anne-Charlotte, who is a PhD in architecture history.
Merci.
Thank you.
D'être avec moi aujourd'hui.
To be with us today.
Et
and
maintenant.
Now.
Lundi en français, place au talent.
And Wednesday, let's talk projects. In English, of course.
Bienvenue dans Comme d'Archi.
Dear listeners, this is Esther on behalf of Anne-Charlotte. It's good to meet you again for the third part of our small theatrical epic in the West, season 4, episode 37, entitled A Very French Comedy. We will mix the history of theatre and places. We left each other in the time of the Italian Renaissance. The model of the Italian theatre, forged from ancient models, quickly influenced all of Europe. Nevertheless, the layout of the ancient theatres was quickly overtaken by the evolution of uses. The tiers were replaced by rows of boxes and/or balconies. The stage gained in depth to integrate the machines, which themselves produced picturesque effects. Moreover, in the 17th century, all the cities of Italy wanted to equip themselves with a fixed theatre. Except for the theatre of Saint-Charles in Naples or the one in Bologna, dating back to the 1760s, the old Italian theatres did not yet have the standards of the modern theatre. The exterior façade, the portico that kept the crowd undercover before the opening of the hall, the shelter to get out of the carriage, the foyer where the spectators were shown during the intermissions, the café inside. Earlier, in the middle of the 16th century, a troupe of Italian comedians, the Gelosi, appeared in Paris. They settled in the Hôtel de Bourgogne from 1600 to 1604. Their repertoire was first that of the Commedia dell'arte, with its typical characters, like Polichinelle, Arlequin, Scaramouche, the lover, the doctor. Then they opened up to the authors of the time. Their freedom of play and tone, as well as their gestures, punctuated by songs, dance and mime, the presence of women on stage shocked many, but also pleased. They fell into disgrace in 1697, but came back in 1716 under the protection of the Duke of Orléans. Before that, still in France, an important fact transforms or prepares the ground for theatricality. In 1548, a ruling of the Parliament of Paris forbids the mixing of sacred and profane registers. Henceforth, Catholic ceremonies and theatrical performances would no longer rhyme, which marked the end of the theatre inherited from the Middle Ages. The old and usual amateur brotherhoods began to rent theatres to the few established professionals. In 1634, Paris had only two theatres, including the Marais Theatre. In 1641, three. Richelieu endowed his Cardinal Palace with a theatre that was soon renamed the Palais Royal. It was in this room, which had been remodeled many times, that Molière took up residence for what was to become the great institution of French comedy. Founded by the Sun King the day after Molière's death, the oldest and most illustrious theatrical institution is still in operation today. But the house of Molière has known several addresses before settling down in the Salle Richelieu more than 230 years ago, in 1799 exactly. First, the provisional theatre installed in the Salle des Cariatides in the Louvre, ex-Salle des Gardes, then the Salle du Petit Bourbon in front of the Louvre, and then the Salle du Palais Royal and the Théâtre Guénégaud. The Comédie Française was born from the reunion of two troupes of the Hôtel de Bourgogne and the Hôtel Guénégaud, but at the time it was too close to the Collège des Quatre Nations and moved to the Rue de l'Ancienne Comédie, then back to the Tuileries, to finally land in the brand new Salle Richelieu after the Revolution. Thus, no theatre without a certain nomadism. For it was not until the end of the 18th century that the Salle Richelieu was built in the Palais Royal. It was built from 1786 to 1790 by the architect Victor Louis. It underwent many transformations in order to adapt to the evolution of the needs, reception of the spectators, scenic illusion, administration of the institution. The original theatre's surface area was half of what it is today. In order to increase the capacity of the theatre, Victor Louis innovated by designing a round reception hall on the first floor, located under the auditorium, which in a way caps the hall. After having designed it for the Bordeaux Theatre, Victor Louis used the theatre on the floor model for the new Richelieu Hall. The present grand staircase was added by Prosper Chabrol, who enlarged the theatre between 1860 and 1864. Outside, he also had the houses adjacent to the theatre on the Rue Saint-Honoré demolished in order to build the south wing of the Comédie Française, which has the artist's foyer and the committee room. The Richelieu room is surrounded by a covered gallery partly lined with stores, hence the three entrances that lead to the vestibule. The main façade towards the Rue de Richelieu presents a peristyle formed by pillars of Doric order. Another façade, partly turned towards the Rue de Montpensier and partly attached to the Palais Royal, presents a series of arcades resting on square pillars and continuing around the building, thus forming the covered gallery. The vestibule is elliptical in shape, and the ceiling, which rests on two rows of fluted Doric columns placed concentrically, is decorated with sculptures. In the center is a beautiful marble statue of Voltaire. In 1900, a fire destroyed much of the 1860s decoration. Inaugurated in 1913, the painting on the ceiling, made by Albert Bénard, still offers the spectators portraits of Molière, Corneille, Racine and Victor Hugo, but also a vision of the Temptation, the Nine Muses and the Chariot of Apollo. Several stage and proscenium curtains were installed, especially after the major works of 1935 and 1974-1976. In 1987, the famous new contemporary curtain, painted by Olivier Debré, was inaugurated. Today, about 860 spectators can be accommodated in the Salle Richelieu, compared to 2,000 in 1790. It is true that the chairs have replaced the parterre and safety standards have become draconian. In 2012, the acoustics of the room was optimized thanks to the removal of carpets and velvet. Wood is then used to limit absorption and as a reflective surface of sound. Noted, son of a Parisian mason and entrepreneur, Victor Louis had completed his apprenticeship in the milieu of master masons. This explains his appetite for stereotomy, the art of stone cutting, and technical prowess. Trained at the Royal Academy of Architecture from the age of 15, he won a prize that gave him the opportunity to spend 3 years in Rome between 1756 and 1759. There he was in direct contact with ancient architecture and became familiar with the creations of Bernini and the engraved work of Piranesi. Back in Paris, he is quickly considered as one of the promoters of the Greek taste. So what could be more embodied than this Italian-style theatre of the greatest French theatrical institution, the Comédie Française? Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. Let's meet again next week for a new Comme d'Archi in English. And until then, take care of yourselves. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Julien Rebourg, sound engineer, who is collaborating with us today. Don't forget to tune in to our previews on Instagram at Comme d'Archi Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, don't hesitate to promote it by giving it 5 stars and a little comment on Apple Podcast or on your favorite podcast platform. And above all, subscribe to listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.